Learning Theory and Dietetics, Martin Compton. Rationale. People with research and professional interests in educational psychology or teaching understandably and logically have an interest in learning theory. Whether theory provides a template for design of approaches to teaching, learning and assessment, or offers an analytical lens to better understand what is happening at an individual or collective level, it makes sense that we challenge our assumptions, experiences and reflections through such theoretical lenses. But what of those whose relationship with teaching or with everyday human tendencies and behaviours is only a tangential part of their role? In any role where one person gives information to others, helps them to understand things, or is responsible for changing or helping to change behaviours, then understanding a little of how people learn will be beneficial. From my lay perspective, I imagine the common challenges in dietetics will be interpreting and conveying complex scientific information about nutrition and health, and helping people to understand impacts and causation in relation to excess or absence in diet. Consideration of these challenges and issues that arise can be informed through theoretical lenses. The learning theory landscape. One of the problems with this is that a quick search for theories of learning will present a dazzling, complex, sometimes contradictory array of theories and ideas. It immediately raises several questions. 1. Where do you start? 2. How deep need you go? 3. How can exposure to learning theory be applied in a meaningful way in context? The answer to the first question might be right here, if you've not studied learning theory before. The second question probably has the same answer as to the question, how long is a piece of string? And will inevitably be determined by academic, research and professional roles and interests. The third question is one that we'll try to get to grips with here and in the forthcoming session. Like any other academic field, learning theory has its groupings and areas. The landscape isn't always represented the same way. You will sometimes see theorists in one category, then another, which can be confusing. This may be due to classification differences or because a theorist has developed their position over time. To complicate things further, the term theory is used to cover a variety of models, approaches, and techniques, and often defined by different people in different ways. That said, complication need not be a problem. Rather than seeking firmly defined boundaries, think more in terms of spectra and Venn diagrams where things overlap and interconnect. A main use of theory is to shed light on our experience and help us reflect on and even change our practice. The following theories are both broad and narrow, and some can be seen as subsets or informed by wider earlier theories. Whether broad or narrow, generalized or specific, they have been selected because I think they may be of use to those in the field of dietetics. However, you have more expertise than I do here, so it's important your critical eye is focused and alert. Remember, it's unlikely that you'll read a theory, decide, aha, that's for me from now on. Rather, you may read, think, reflect, apply, and draw on a range of complementary or contradictory ideas and approaches as you develop techniques in your future roles or current roles, as well as using theoretical lenses to better understand what has worked and what has not. Broad theoretical schools. Behaviorist theories of learning see the learner as passive. They can be trained using reward and punishment to condition them to behave in particular ways. Famous theorists in this domain include Pavlov and Skinner, whose reach extends into popular understandings, unlike most other domains of theory. Learning is seen as a change in behavior. In health education, the role of the expert might be to provide incentives or find ways to disincentivize certain behaviors. Consider the cost of tobacco products and the gruesome images on the packaging. What's the thinking behind this? Can the cost and images be credited with the continuing fall in the number of smokers? Cognitive theories of learning see the learner as actively processing information rather than just being conditioned by various stimuli. Cognitivists are concerned with how learners process and remember information and often test recall as a measure of learning. In health education, the expert's role is to convey information in ways that optimizes recall and completeness. Consider the 5 portions of fruit, veg a day campaign. Whilst there are certainly rewards built into the design of the programs, i.e. health benefits of eating 5 a day, There was also an emphasis on providing and reinforcing information about nutrition and vitamins through attractive materials, booklets, leaflets, connections to school curricula, and so on. Constructivist theories of learning see the learner as an active participant in their own learning. The process of learning is not merely putting knowledge into an empty container. The teacher presents knowledge, scenarios, resources, options, and problems, or they gain it in another way. And in learning it, students construct the knowledge for themselves, linking it to what they already know. A variant of this is social constructivism, which holds that students' construction of their knowledge is done with others. How might a dietitian apply a constructive approach when working with a client with type 2 diabetes, who, by their own admission and despite worsening symptoms, persists in keeping a diet that is sugar, starch, and salt rich? Stop and think. Which broad theoretical approach can you see here? At my local dentist surgery, there is a display case with different sugary snacks, foods, and drinks set out very neatly, adjacent to piles of sugar equivalent to the amount in those foodstuffs. Each has a type label, like in a museum, with the amount of sugar in grams. There are also a couple of low sugar items. There are no explicit warnings of the dangers of sugar to teeth. Specific theories. How relevant or useful are these? Situated learning theory holds that relevance needs of learning are always embedded within a context and culture. So it's best to teach particular materials within a relevant context. For example, teaching clinical skills in a clinical setting. Within that context, students learn by becoming involved in a community of practice, i.e. a group of practitioners, and through legitimate peripheral participation, move from the periphery of this community towards its centre, i.e. the more expert involved in practice they become, the closer they move towards the centre. Key names here are Vygotsky and Lev. Social learning theory. This views observation as key to learning. It holds that we learn through observing others, not just what they do, but also the consequences of that. People learn from watching older or more expert people. An educator has a role in getting their attention, helping them remember, and motivating them to demonstrate their learning. Behavior is also affected by what they see being rewarded or punished. A key name here is Bandura. Mindset, which is a kind of motivational theory, argues that if people believe that their ability to achieve something is fixed, then they have little chance of changing it, and they therefore have a fixed mindset. To develop, that is, learn, a growth mindset, what's needed is a belief in intrinsic self-belief. The educator's role is to show belief, exemplify positive behaviours, for example, hard work and effort should be valued, not only the results, and showing how to embrace failure, although it's probably not called failure in this conceptualisation. A key name here is Carol Dweck. Critical pedagogy is more of a movement than a theory. It holds that teaching cannot be separated from wider social and political concerns, and that educators should empower their students to be active, critical citizens. Critical pedagogy is concerned with, whatever the subject, asking students to question hierarchies and power relations and to achieve a higher political consciousness. Paulo Freire, author of Pedagogy of the Oppressed, one of the first books of critical pedagogy, coined the banking model in his critique of how some teaching aims to fill students up with knowledge as though they are blank slates, merely receiving and storing knowledge. In addition, bell hooks' work on intersectionality, complex layers of discrimination and privilege according to factors such as race, class, gender, sexuality, and disability, might also lend a powerful lens to understand and challenge the nature and role of diet amongst groups as well as in individuals. Thank you.